Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
We can't make this a partisan issue. This has to be something that everybody has to work on together in our communities throughout the United States. And it's just, it can happen. It just shows you can happen anywhere and to anybody. You know, there's too much infighting as far as that's concerned. And the real truth of the matter is, you know, people are dying unnecessarily. And it's crazy how we, as, you know, one of the most advanced societies in the world, continue to have this issue.
That's Washington Commanders head coach Ron Rivera talking about gun violence after the shooting of running back Brian Robinson Jr. on Sunday. In the DMV, there has been at least one shooting every day this summer, many of them deadly. And even as politicians and law enforcement scramble to curb the rising tide of gun violence, it appears that it has had little effect. So what needs to be done? What can be done to address the rampant gun violence in your community and across this country? Well, tonight we've brought together community activists to share their thoughts about this very critical issue. My guests are Dr. Waris Majeed, founder of Yay Me Incorporated, and Tia Bell, founder and CEO of The Trigger Project. We also want to hear from you, our listeners. What's the solution to address gun violence in our cities? Lines are open right now at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Thank you both for joining the conversation, Tia and Dr. Majeed. I appreciate your time and your expertise.
Absolutely.
Tia, can you hear me?
Thank you for having me. Yeah, I'm here.
Wonderful. Tia, I really want to start with you, because both of you really have your ears to the ground as it relates to this really difficult issue. Real simple, Tia, what's going on right now with all of the gun violence in our communities?
It's a manifestation of everything. We still are in the height of the pandemic. We still are in the height of our summer weather season. We have built a disconnectivity within resources and people who are behind the gun. But I know we're not talking solutions, but there is a whole lot that's working to combat that as well. It's just that it feels like we're you know, in that demise when you have a shooting, someone killed every day since last week. It's just a manifestation of oppression. I like to say gun violence is not only a symptom of our pain, but the cause.
Yeah, and we will get to solutions later on in the program, but I still want to make sure that we just have an idea of the cause of this and why this is happening. Dr. Majeed, your thoughts on why this is happening, particularly as it relates to our young people. It seems that they are getting younger and younger, and the violence or the potential for violence is increasing. The suspects that police are looking for in the Brian Robinson Jr. shooting are believed to be teenagers, not adults, but certainly teenagers. We saw yesterday, Suitland High School, two students, one of them 18 years old, legally an adult. He had a handgun, according to police, but the 16-year-old, the youngest one, had a warrant out for his arrest for a carjacking back in June. It was reported today that he didn't just have any handgun on him when he was arrested yesterday, but he had an extended clip with some 30 rounds as well as a laser sight. What's going on, Dr. Majeed? Why is this happening?
Well, I mean, it's really getting bad in our city, but we can't really look and say why is this happening now, because this didn't happen today. That didn't happen this year. It
Absolutely.
Didn't happen during the pandemic, you know? And when you see these young people that we're seeing every day getting younger and younger with the courage to be able to not just take someone's life, but to just walk around with this type of, you know, these type of weapons and consciously, you know, try to take someone's life and do some of these crazy things that are happening, we really got to look at our communities. We got to really start saying, and this is a state of emergency for everybody, and we all have to get on board. You know, it's really sad when I think about the young brother that got shot, but we got to understand that he's a victim, but also this young person at 14, 15, 16 years old, you know, the trauma that you had to go through to even put yourself in that position, you're a victim as well. You know, so, I mean, we're all victims to what's going on in our city right now. So we have to think about these solutions, and we have to look at what is the cause of all of these things, and what do we have to put into this community with the investments that have been made and the individuals who are trying to do it. I mean, you're looking at the shootings that happen. You know, it's hundreds more that we are that are not happening, right? We are in a state of emergency right now, and we need everybody on board.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about crime, specifically the gun violence in our communities. Often these incidents of gun violence end with loss of life. What do you think? Why is this happening? What are some possible solutions? I want to hear from our listening audience tonight. One of the things also, I hate to say this to you, but is this a new normal for our cities? Is this something that we, short of some magic wand solution, that we may very well have to live with?
I don't think it's a new normal. I'm going to just challenge the average mind and say, when I was born in 1989, Howard University, we were the murder capital, and we were that for 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
There is a notable ex-officer who, detective, who says it was 12 years of hell, 434 murders that year. So to know that we're at 113, that is one too many. There was a heartbeat. I think in that instance, you have someone on one side of the gun and the other side whose lives are changed forever or at a stop, as well as the people around. And we just really have to stop putting lip service behind saying that gun violence is a disease and really treat it like it. You can't keep throwing the police at it. We really got to throw the resources into the community more intentionally, with more flexibility, because there are people like me, like Dr. McGee, like our mentors and even our proteges who are spreading peace and spreading prevention, who are the absence of the disease, that we just don't have the intentional support behind this public health framework and model where we treat it as such, which gun violence spreads through modeled behavior. So young people whose brains aren't fully developed because of trauma and just because of age aren't making rational decisions. And then they're seeing this behavior model to handle conflict and handle pressure. And this is what we get. We have people talking with guns. They're talking. Their behavior is communication, but we're not listening fully.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about gun violence in our cities with community activists. What can be done to address this issue? Let's go to Paul calling from D.C. Paul, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, thank you so much for receiving me. I'm an ANC commissioner, and I have been complaining and suggesting to our mayor since 2015 about the gun violence in D.C. And I always said, let's go back to resuming or reinstituting the jump outs, the plain clothing. What that will do, that will combat the sex trafficking, the gun violence, the loitering, and the drugs. Now, and I asked her in 2017, Mayor Bowser, why won't you put back out the plain clothing? And she said, Trantham, go to my chief of staff. And I did. But when you go read the Constitution, that she did say to me, well, Paul, because the Constitution say they violate their civil rights. Okay, I went and read the Constitution. And, yes, they did say certain things that the officer did back in the late 80s and the early 90s violated people's civil rights. Okay, fine. But they did not say that they could not have plain clothing. So why can't the mayor humble herself, come off her pride, and say, okay, let us resume, put the plain clothing back out here on our street where they can come back in these neighborhoods where people have guns. How do we get the gun? How are the youth able to access the gun? That's what is needs to be said. And then when you got people coming back talking about, oh, well, no, they don't need them. They violate their for police. No, it's not.
Well, hold on, Paul. But hold on. Here's the thing. Because, you know, the police chief and the mayor have been saying that they are taking these guns off the street. They are collecting them in droves, literally every single day. And, we know that the mayor has tried this thing. We know that the mayor has tried that thing. She has been attempting to address this. And that is why tonight we are talking to community activists, because it's easy to target elected officials, okay? But I think we have these boots on the ground, you know, the Dr. Majeeds and the Tia Bells, who have a different perspective. And so, we should be holding our elected and appointed officials, police chiefs and the like, accountable. But I do believe there is more that needs to be done. Paul, thank you so much.
Let me say this.
No, I'd love to, but I got to pick up another call. But I do appreciate your passion and your caring for the community. Let me quickly go to Vince. Vince, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Vince. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing? Thank you for having me. And I agree with the caller before you. And I don't know where everybody in D.C. has been. I don't know if their head has been in the sand or not. However, the police are not policing anymore. The police are not policing anymore because the whole country has become hate the police. Hate the police comes from the Black Lives Matter. Now, mind you, I have been black for more than 60 years now, okay? I've dealt with all the racism. I've been pulled over just because I was black. However, the police are not policing. And if the police are not policing, the criminals are going to run wild. And you know what? It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. Take your head out the sand and pay attention to what's going on. You can ride down the street with a joint in one hand, a beer in the other hand, telephone it to your ear, wave at the police, and keep it moving. And they will not pull you over. However, if they pull you over and some of that turns into you have to use force to take them down, then all of a sudden the police is back. Now, I'm going to say one more thing. I know you got short time. Here we go. You take any man that is, let's say, 175 pounds in shape. Let's say 175 pounds or 200 pounds in shape, right? Take three of them and take two of them and try to get handcuffs on that one and hit that one fight. Now, you will not get handcuffs on that one guy. It's going to take four guys. So when you get four guys, it's going to look like you got police brutality. Okay, the police are not policing, not necessarily in D.C., but across the country. They're riding by. They're looking at people. They would rather get it. Their job is to wait for a phone call, go over there and pick up the body. That's what they're doing. Mm. And until you get the police back to policing, you're going to have disorder.
Okay.
That's my comment.
Vince, thank you so much. Okay, so Dr. Majeed and Tia, but I'll start with you, Dr. Majeed. When you hear these two calls and put them up against your philosophies for addressing these issues, how does that make you feel?
Well, first of all, I understand the frustration of both of the brothers. I don't think we have a policing problem. We have a community problem.
Okay.
This is our issue. This is our community, our responsibility. I know some of these officers that are out there, and they're doing the best that they can. I'm not saying everyone is perfect, but we aren't either. We definitely can't put it on this mayor, who's invested more into gun violence than ever in the history of the District of Columbia. I agree with you 100%, Brother Hurl, when you said that. Like, this is our problem that we need to address. Now, I do think that the police officers in our community need to reflect us a little bit more, and there needs to be more of an effort to make sure that those individuals not only look like us, but they also live in the same communities that we do, and they interact a little bit better. But our problem, and what we're talking about tonight, is these young people that feel comfortable going out here and claiming the lives of other individuals and destroying our community. And we're talking about, you're saying arresting your way out of this problem. That's never happened in the history, especially in the African-American community. So for any brother to say that, I want you to really think about if your brother was there or your son was there, how would you feel about that situation? We are being victimized in our communities because every system that we've ever had has failed us, every system. So if you want to talk about the penal system, we can talk about that. You want to talk about the school system, we can talk about that. The mental health system. So every system that touches African-American, black and brown communities has failed us from day one. But it's because us as a community, we have to step up. This is our problem. And as soon as we decide that we're going to step up, it's going to happen. We all have to build the District of Columbia. Small percentage of those individuals are destroying our community. So it's time for us to step up, take back our own community, and we what the police do. We say what elected officials do. Issue our community and our
Tia, I'm going to give you a chance to respond after I take a quick break. Also, Big J calling from Germantown, Robert calling from Burtonsville. Glad you guys are on the phone as well, because this isn't just a D.C. issue in our region. This is a DMV USA issue. We'll be back in just a moment. We're going to take a quick break. Don't forget, you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Inside segment, including the one we're doing right now via podcast on WHUR.com. Just go to the website. You can download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live in its entirety. If you are on the phone, stay with us. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. If you can't get through, keep trying. I promise I'll get to you. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm. That's on WHUR. This conversation continues on SiriusXM in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. Tonight, we are talking about the gun violence in our community, gun violence that more often than not ends with loss of life. We're talking to community activists tonight to look at why this is happening, as well as possible solutions to this very difficult issue. My guests are Tia Bell, founder and CEO of the Trigger Project, and Dr. Waris Majeed, founder of Yay Me Incorporated. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Before the break, I was asking our guests to react to the phone calls that we just heard. Tia, go right ahead. Your thoughts. Tia, can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm a victim of the mute button. But,
go right ahead.
Just like my mentor, Dr. Majee, says, it's such a comprehensive, deep problem for us, and it really does start with self. I remind my young people every day, we have a trigger finger. You know, if you're blessed to have your 10 fingers, 10 toes, you have the one thing that is needed to act on that courage and that consciousness. And after just losing babies and babies and babies, and then you lose Big G's son and almost a football player that represents our city, man, losing who I love, you know, all of those heartbeats matter, and it's easy again to be livid and enraged and get stressed and feel like the demand is greater than our resources. But the connection is really just where it starts. The people who hear about this football player or read about us losing our children, then they need to know that there's meetings happening every day, every minute to help prevent this issue. And so we galvanized the city back in June during Gun Violence Awareness Month to host an In Gun Violence Citywide Conference. It was the second annual. And we were able to create a community-specific prevention plan, and we had facilitators like Dr. McGee and Monjo, and just pioneers in this work who've seen really this constant illness try to just infect us all. And so we've been intentional about trying to really big up this conference and make it to a level where we can reach everybody in the city, because technically everybody who's a resident here is a survivor of gun violence. Their life is impacted by this disease, and everybody needs to take ownership in that and reach back to our young people, not fear them.
I have a question for both of you before I go back on the phones. And you know, it's a complicated question, and this issue this isn't new, but when, you know, Dr. Majeed said that all of these systems have failed us, and saying that this is a community thing, but when we're talking specifically about young people and the influences that they are subject to, what role do you believe, Dr. Majeed and Tia, what roles do you believe that you know, our music may play in influencing them? And this is, and before you answer, this is why I ask. Because, you know, we all, people of a certain age, you know, we love, you know, the classical hip hop, you know, from KRS-One and NWA and all of that. You know, Public Enemy, I'm telling my age. But what our youngest children are listening to now is the, you know, some of the culture. It talks about beefs, that talks about murder, killing, disrespecting of women. I could go on. I don't have to describe it. You know what I'm talking about. And I compare that to what's happening with, you know, some of the music that is not hip hop that white kids listen to. And I don't hear them talking about beefs or killing, acid rock and you know, they don't do that. What's that an issue? What do you think, Dr. Majeed? And then Tia, you know, I think that may be an issue.
Yeah, well, I believe if you saturate yourself with negativity, then eventually it's going to impact you. That's a given. I think the biggest problem is that a lot of the young people that are listening to a lot of this content, they don't have an adult or someone who has the intelligence to be able to show them what's right from wrong and be able to make conscious decisions. Because I know I love rap, right?
Mm-hmm.
I love all forms of it. I love go-go. I love all the different type of music, whether you think it's bad or good. But I've also had a couple of people to tell me, you know, or instill in me certain values, so I know that this is something that I'm listening to, this is entertainment, and things like that. And I think that, you know, we probably haven't done the best job at making sure that our young people have the right type of leaders in their lives that are helping them to navigate some of these tough questions that they have with this access to some of these devices and music and things like that. And they're trying to make figure these things out on their own, you know, and that's not really fair for a young person whose brain isn't developed to be able to understand what really is right from wrong and you know, what's showbiz and what's reality. So that will be my take on that.
Well, Tia, we don't have clones of you to be in the ears of every young people to balance out, you know, I joke, but I don't. Because that's why
I need plenty of clones.
At least,
it was ironic you said that.
Yeah.
And Dr. Majeed knows that personally. But speaking of him, I've reached out to Dr. Majeed to access a studio to keep young people from getting in trouble, to keep young people from doing things that we're talking about on this call right now. So I'm very much in the middle with music, because our co-chair, Leonard Smith, likes to say, we can drop the pistols when we pick up the utensils. And music is a utensil, it's a tool. Like I mentioned earlier, young people are communicating with the gun. But Dr. Majeed also mentioned something so important, which is a protective factor, having a positive aspiration or having a healthy, positive relationship with an adult outside your family. Those are things that can protect you from victimization and perpetration, just like exercising can protect you from obesity. So it's really important to consider that we are talking about a young mind, a young heart, and we can blame them and point the finger, but we just have to do it in context and in understanding. And just being just Black in D.C., we know we are, as my mentor mentioned today, we are an emotional, behavioral being. It's hard for us to write or speak, you know? So I think we're doing what we've learned, but it has to be also added with that mentorship, that support, those opportunities, those services, so that we can have, you know, a beautiful flower blossom and not gun violence.
I want to talk a little bit more about that, but let me get back to the phone lines. Big J, thank you for being patient. Calling from Germantown, what's on your mind?
Yeah, thank you to give me this opportunity to say something. This gun violence doesn't come from anywhere. It comes from first, it comes from education. It had to come from your house. The uncle had to involve, grandma had to involve, everybody had to involve from your house to help you, to train you before we had to go out. But I'm surprised people attack a mayor for nothing. If you don't like a mayor, don't come to a radio to talk about gun violence. The police is there. They're training them. If a police want to be a real police officer, they need to be honest. They're training to protect people. But when you go to 7-Eleven, you can see five police officers sit down, drinking or talking, laughing, when something happened outside. And we can...
But Big J, let me stop you there, because as I said in the very beginning, this... You know, we know what the mayor and mayors, plural, around this country are attempting to do when we're talking about violence in the city, from, you know, Muriel Bowser to Eric Adams and everybody in between in New York. We know that there are issues with, police departments. You've got the one bad apple spoiling the whole bunch. You've got, 99 police officers, but you've got one problem, and everybody's looking at that one problem when the other 99 are trying to keep the community safe and do what they're supposed to do. I get that. I'm not talking about these kinds of situations. What I'm talking about is where you started, which is this stuff starts at home, which goes back to what Dr. Majeed was saying when he was saying all the systems have failed us, but our community is failing our children.
Have to come from anybody house.
Yeah.
So uncle had to involve grandpapa. Everybody had to talk about it.
Yeah.
It's only education, because if you don't have a good education from your house, where you get from outside?
Yeah, I agree.
About the music, if we can change and start listening to country music, many people's life will change.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. But Big J, thank you so much. Let me go to Robert calling from Burtonsville. Robert, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing this evening?
I'm okay.
I think where it starts is that the homes with these kids and these guns, the parents are working kind of late, and these kids don't have anything to do. Where I feel the mayor needs to bring some programs back to the district. I grew up in the district. I was a part of the district when the crack cocaine thing was out there real bad. But I took and turned my life around, that I'm raising my son who's great, go to college and things like that. But peer pressure to these kids today with gangs and things like that, just to be a part of something, is what they're looking for. They're looking for the drug dealers. They're looking for the big-time gangsters, the girls, and things like that. We need to come together as a community and speak with these kids and pull them back and show them that education is the first thing they need. Because, like I said, when you have a parent that's not home, and you have these kids that's running out all day long, or when their parents do come home, they're out in the streets at 9, 10 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning, there's no guidance.
Yeah.
So as a young Black man, as myself, to bring guidance back to these kids and show them some things that, you know, what they can do, and just let them know that education is first. But if we don't do that, we're going to continue, because these kids are not buying guns from anybody. The guns, they're not bringing the guns into the country. They're not bringing the guns into the DMV. Someone else is bringing them. They're just getting a hold of them.
Yeah.
But as long as you have guns, gangs, and drugs, they're going to continue to do it because they're not looking at the positive what they have in life. What they're thinking is that if my buddy get killed, they're fighting for a block that's going to still be there after their buddy is dead and gone.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It might be the same way.
Well, Robert, thank you so much for that. Before I go back to the phones, I want the two of you and, of course, our listeners to listen to this, and I'll talk a little bit more on the other side.
If you thought Fulton was a good county to bring your crime to bring your violence to, you are wrong, and you are going to suffer consequences. I am not going to negotiate with gang members. I am not going to allow pleas. We are going to find you. We are going to convince you, and we're going to send you to the prison for the rest of your days, and I'm not apologizing for that.
That is Fulton County, Georgia District Attorney Fani Willis this week talking about a huge indictment of a gang that started in Atlanta, has moved out into Fulton County, and as you can tell, she's not having it. She spoke about the use of social media as a tool to help track down the perpetrators of these crimes because, as we know, people who often commit these crimes, particularly young people, after they do it, they talk about it. And they talk about it on social, and they talk about it on social media. They snitch on themselves. But the other thing that she did say, as an aside, because many of the victims of these alleged crimes were high-profile people in the Atlanta metro area. They were members of the Housewives series. They were professional football players. They were high-profile black people who were victims of these crimes. I say this, and I'll start with you, Tia, because one of the consequences of gun violence in our street is obviously death. But I also would say that the attitudes of people who are charged with keeping our streets safe, the Fani Willises of the world, I think they're starting to get fed up. And and I think what's happening is if our community doesn't do something about it, you know, including our beloved community activists, that that, you know, these public officials are going to come by with a big rake. And we're going to get to the point, we're going to get to the lock them up attitude again. Because I would say, Tia, people are getting a little tired of this.
Tired is...
Sick and tired of being sick and tired.
It's tired. I just want to affirm, I mean, and I want to really validate people. If you're tired, it is a real feeling. It is a real emotion. And our emotions tell us things, you know. So that's why I think Dr. Majeed and I have been so focused on our solution, our community-based solution. And to D.A. Willis's point, I'll just share, and for people who are unapologetically done, and stand where they stand with believing that the public safety approach is the only way. I'll just share some of the community-specific solutions that we came up with at the conference, and it'll be very, very quick. But
go right ahead. I've got a little time.
Yoga and meditation centers with 24/7 access, addressing disparities, removing barriers, especially in the government. You can't help us without us. So maybe we get to a point, a radical point, where politics are really honing in on community voice. I'm sorry, politics and law enforcement. They said more economic opportunities for youth, equity in funding, more cosmetology, trade, barbershop, peer-led mental groups, summer camps, more mentorship. These were some of the suggestions from community at the conference. And then we framed it around needing one entity to coordinate all efforts. So if we have more of this on the forefront, there won't have to be a response and a reprimand and a tone set, a new culture set, with public safety at the nucleus. You know, we don't want to enforce. We want to heal and transform and bring awareness, bring togetherness, compassion, comprehensive understanding.
Dr. Majeed, your thoughts about the Fannie Willis clip?
Well, I think the DA did exactly what she's paid to do, and those are her thoughts. And for our community, we should be sick. We should be tired. We should not forget. You know, we should also understand that there are some bad apples as well. We can't save everyone. I do agree on that. But I do believe that we can save the majority of individuals. As the Queen Tia said, there are a lot of things that are in place that we can do. But if we think that we're just going to lock a person up and the problem is going to go away, no, it's going to be someone else that's going to put that jacket on and going to perform those same activities, you know. So the challenge is what are we going to do, you know. And so if we're talking about that, especially with someone like a Tia who's all about prevention and how do we change these problems, I would say, listen, school started the other day. Mm-hmm. So let's make sure that, you know, in the first PTA meeting, I don't care if you have a child or not, show up, right? The next time that Department of Youth Rehabilitative Services is trying to figure out what to do with these young people and looking for mentors, show up. You know, we complain a lot, we point fingers a lot, but we don't show up. We don't show up for our community. And Brother Hurl, you said it earlier, like our community is failing us. The brother said that the mother's working late at night and things like that. At one point in time, I don't care what time the mother came home, the community looked out for the community. We're not doing that anymore. So if you think just locking the problem up and the problem's going to go away, and that's not happening. But she's doing exactly what she is paid to do, and that's the attitude that she's supposed to have. Now, we need to get upset. We need to have an attitude in saying that we're going to take our community back and we're going to save our babies by any means necessary. And that means that some of them, we are going to lose them. Hopefully not to the graveyard, but some individuals do go, and they're incarcerated and they come home, and we know with a different type of a mindset and spirit. Right, but we don't have to lose them all. We can save a lot of individuals if we make the investment now in our community.
Well, you know, both of you have spoken about services and the like, you know, basketball courts, rec centers, and all of these other kinds of things. Just anecdotally speaking, are those things working? I mean, you know, we've been hearing about, you know, rec centers, midnight basketball, and all of this other kind of stuff. And unfortunately, it seems that those have become targets in some cases for some of the gun violence that we've seen, number one. And I think number two, you know, Dr. Majeed, you know, Tia spoke about prevention. But what about intervention? How do you deal with, you know, it's one thing when you can take a child from the very, very beginning and mm-hmm. groom them not to be, you know, not to deal with gun violence, not to, you know, teach them how to interact and right. to solve their differences in a nonviolent way. But for those young people who have already gone down that road, from your perspective, what does intervention look like?
Yeah, well, you can't have one without the other. That's first of all, right? But intervention is, you know, that's a lot. Here focuses more on prevention.
Right.
Some of the stuff that we do, like with no fly zone and things like that, are probably a little bit more focused on intervention. And intervention is when you've identified individuals who've already gone down this path, and sometimes they've already made these mistakes, and you try to understand them, number one, right? You try to feed whatever it is that they're looking for. And a lot of times it's attention. A lot of times there are a lot of things that have gone on in their houses, the trauma and all these different type of things. That's what intervention looks like. When you provide someone who may not understand what their value system looks like, and you try to show them what that value system looks like, that's what intervention is. Because to be honest with you, as long as a person has some faith, as long as a person has something to live for, as long as a person really loves themselves, they are most likely not going to take another person's life. They're not going to do something that's going to hurt themselves. So what we do when we're talking about intervention is we bring the value system to the community and to these individuals, and we see the change. But that's what intervention looks like for us.
Let me go to Tony calling from Bowie. Hey, Tony, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, Harold. Thanks for taking my call once again. Hello, guest. Harold, you know, we've been down this road before, and I think it's stiffer penalties that's needed. And I understand what the gentleman is saying, but Montgomery County, when a juvenile is charged with adult crime, he do adult time. You know, I can think back to 51 years ago when Marvin Gaye came out with the song What's Going On, and the verse that said, brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. For the last 51 years, we have waited on our politicians to do something about this black-on-black crime. And I heard one of the speakers say that it's a pandemic. Okay, why isn't it happening in other communities or with other races? That's my comment.
Yeah. Tony, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Tia, you want to quickly tackle that before I take another call?
Yeah, gun violence, again, is a symptom of 450 years of oppression. It is a comprehensive, it is a psycho-emotional disease.
Let me go to Brother AZ calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, thank you for having me. Are you able to hear me?
Yeah, go right ahead real quick, 30 seconds.
So really quick, one of the clips you played earlier in regards to or spoke on was the DA dealing with the music. That is one of the elephants in the room. We glorify and make these people who glorify drugs, violence, cheating on your wife, killing, taking your girl. We glorify this music, and then when it's portrayed in real life, we demonize the child. But all of that is wrong. And what we need to first do is acknowledge that this is crap. This is pollution that our children hear and our influence, and not only our children, our adults. We think all this music is great. But then when we actually see it in our face, we're like, hey, what's going on? But we need to first address things at home. The parents need to cut this garbage off. They don't need to be watching, our young daughters don't need to be watching women half-dressed, shaking their behinds. And then we're trying to figure out why the teen pregnancy rates are so high. Then we're trying to figure out why abortion is going on. Then we're trying to figure out why people are killing each other over boyfriends, girlfriends, and what have you. But this stuff is pumped in our social media like it's fun and games.
But let me say this, brother. You said it's junk. You said it's crap. It is a multi-billion-dollar load of crap.
Exactly.
It sells, and somebody is consuming it.
Familiar with? We had what? KRS-One. We had all this. What would you call positive rap? All this positive reinforcement along with the village mentality, but that's been done away with. Now we glorify our future and other drug addicts and drug dealers and killers, and then we're trying to figure out why we're seeing what we see in our communities. We have to start at home, the parents. The parents have to be parents. They have to allow the teacher to be teachers. We have to be a unit, but if we're rolling like individuals and get money mentality, capitalist mentality, we're falling to the system that the brother was talking about. All of this is by design, and we're just running our course.
Yeah,
we got to get back to doing what the family values that our grandparents, the real grandparents, not the grandmama that's twerking today, but the grandmama that was have you go get that switch.
God.
The grandfather that'll go ahead, you know. Go get the same thing. Get a switch.
Well, brother AZ, I appreciate your input and thank you so much for your thoughtful comments. I only have a few moments left, and we've taken a look back and we've taken a look at where we are. Tia, if you had the resources, whether it's cloning yourself 500 times or whatever else you think that you would need to put a dent, a positive dent in this issue, what would it be?
What would it be?
Yeah.
An operating budget Right now, we really just have the capacity to operate as a research partner to the University of Michigan Youth Violence Prevention Center. They're working to help evaluate and document my program so that we can build a curriculum and really push prevention throughout our city, throughout our country. But that's all I'm really paid to do. So technically, everything I do is volunteer.
Yeah.
So we need an operating budget. We need investment in prevention because a lot of the resources are really geared towards intervention.
Yeah. Dr. Majeed, I've got a minute. If you had your druthers and the resources that you would need as an activist, what do you believe you need to make a positive dent in this gun violence issue in this city?
Yeah, well, I mean, definitely couldn't do that in 1 minute, but I would say one thing, Brother Fisher, is if we had a campaign to really highlight the positive brothers and sisters that are in this community so that individuals can see themselves and see the greatness within themselves and how they can be great, brothers like yourself, sisters like Sister Tia, and really make a campaign so that they can see that, so that when they hear this rap and all this other stuff that we consider garbage, they understand that that's not the end of the world and that they have some positive and strong individuals who look just like them and that expect greatness from them. And then that's when our value system comes back and a lot of these problems go away. Then we can get the Sister Tia her operating budget so that she can start to grow this violence out of our community.
Yeah. A lot of work ahead of all of us, this community, other communities. There's... I don't think there is just one answer. There may not be 10. But keep doing the work that you both are doing, Dr. Warriors Majeed and Tia Bell. Thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank
I appreciate
you.
Your time.
Thank you.
Sure.
All right, Queen.
So grateful. Yes, prevent gun violence. Everybody, PCP.
That is the Daily Drum for this Tuesday, August 30th. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.